Rock straight up. It's the Card Show with Big Mac. Good afternoon, everybody. Phone number to join, as always, 888-808-1019. Got a great show for you today. A lot of Knick basketball after last night's debacle. We got the Mets back in action trying to stop the 11-game losing streak. We actually have a very special guest coming on today to help break the curse for the New York Mets. We've got the New York Yankees, of course, getting ready for a huge series against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway, and lots cooking in between. Good afternoon, Big Mac. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Still annoyed about last night.
We're all annoyed about last night.
We're all annoyed about last night.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, we want our pound of flesh.
That's right.
We want to know who we blame the most.
Who do we blame for this crap?
I'm going to tell you. I got the guy, and I don't think anyone's going to dispute it with me.
Well, I think there's several guys. I don't think you can go wrong today picking a guy to blame.
All right, let's go over the obvious choices here for who we blame for last night. And by the way, they're still going to beat the Hawks. I'm not concerned at all about winning this series. If C.J. McCollum at 90 years old is the only guy you're worried about, we're going to be just fine, but we'll get into it, right? So here are your choices, okay?
All right.
Multiple guests. I'm going to give you all the choices with a mystery option.
Okay.
And then you tell me who you want to blame the most for what happened last night. Fair enough?
Yes.
All right, choice number one, Mike Brown.
Okay.
Okay, obviously, Mike Brown did a lousy job, I thought, with the rotation in the fourth quarter. I thought he did a lousy job at the end of the first half with the rotation when they went and let a 9-point lead go down to one, which just didn't make any sense. Like, you know, call timeout, do something to stop it. And not calling plays for Karl-Anthony Towns in the entire fourth quarter is just mind-bogglingly dumb, okay? Mm-hmm. So Mike Brown's one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
Obviously the most clutch guy in the sport, our leader, our best player. Jalen Brunson decided with about 5 minutes to go, a little less than 5 minutes to go, that I'm taking every shot the rest of the way. I'm going to dribble out the shot clock, maybe pass, multiple turnovers in that fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson's got to do a better job as point guard. All right? No, two.
If there's any doubt.
Number three, Karl-Anthony Towns. Okay. When you have a dominant third quarter and nobody can stop you physically in the low post, you have to go to Jalen Brunson and Mike Brown and say, give me the damn basketball. It's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm totally with you.
Karl-Anthony Towns, choice number three.
Yeah.
Those are the big three, obviously, right?
Those are the big
three. I'm not going to blame Clarkson or Alvarado.
No.
They're role players. They play 5 minutes a game.
I mean, you could throw in OG for those two missed free throws.
Yeah.
You can throw in Bridges for not going to the basket and avoiding contact like his life depends on it every single stinking
game. Put him
on
the list.
He just made the list.
Mikal Bridges on the list.
Why is he so afraid of contact? He's got to step on his man. We could debate whether that play should have happened at all, how you handle it. I know Evan was big on the coast-to-coast from Hart, which he is excellent at. Why even give up the ball?
I'm surprised Hart gave the ball up so quickly.
Why even give it up?
Yeah.
But he's got to step on his guy. There is no chance in hell he's not going to either foul you or you're going to get a layup going to the basket.
That's
instead, he pulls up for, quote-unquote, his shot. It bothered the hell out of me.
I'm with you 100%. Now, put Mikal Bridges on the list.
Bridges is on the list.
Put Josh Hart on the list.
Hart on the list.
Had a great game, of course. Does all the little
and he's
things.
Been good in this series.
You get the rock. You got 4.5 seconds to go. Get your ass down the court.
Do what you do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right. And then there's the mystery option.
Mystery option.
Yeah. So put it just a question mark for the mystery option.
Question
right?
mark. Mystery option.
So you got Mike Brown. You got Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
You got Karl-Anthony Towns. You got Mikal Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
OG's two free throws.
Yep.
They missed 10 as a team, by the way, which is obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
Right? And the mystery guess. Now, do you want to, you have to play a game here.
Okay.
You could pick one of the five you got
and
be comfortable that's the guy you want to blame for the loss. Or you can say there might be somebody out there that you can make an argument without knowing who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more responsible for the Knick failure last night in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Or a 12-point lead to start the fourth quarter, and it just whittled away, and we didn't do a damn thing to stop it.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'm very comfortable blaming Mike Brown the most.
Okay.
I'm very comfortable.
Do you want to hear the mystery person?
I mean, you can give you. You I might, thought you asked me to pick.
Yeah.
I'll take Brown over to what's behind door number three.
Because, I think, Mike Brown's your guy.
Because, no doubt, because the two things you said as part of the reason to blame Brunson and Cat.
Yeah.
I also feel that falls under the purview of the head coach.
I agree.
Not only the rotations and the nonsense of allowing the bench, which, look, I know we've had that conversation about playing the bench and everything. There's two reasons to me why you play the bench as much as you do over the course of the regular season. One, so you can give load management, whatever term you want to say, give rest to the starters so that they can play a lot of minutes in these playoff games.
Sure.
Number one. Number two, to have something to fall back on, which they didn't last year, in times where the starters aren't working.
Yeah.
And you need to get back into a game. And you want to go to your bench as a spark and be familiar with it and have something that you're comfortable with when you haven't, like with the Tibbs teams, they never did it throughout the year. When they tried it for a last-ditch effort, there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. But so those are the two reasons you play.
Yep.
Not when you're up 9-10 points controlling the game and allowing Cat to sit on the bench for 7-8 minutes while the rotation of guards is out there getting their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand anything about it. I thought the timeout he called as Brunson's driving to the basket, I thought it was a foul when the whistle got
blew. I did too.
And then it's a timeout.
Because it made no sense.
Why are you calling a timeout there?
Yeah.
So then you don't have a timeout at the end of the game.
Right.
I know we all thought they
did. We'll get to that. NBC messed up.
NBC messed up.
And by the way, I don't blame anyone. I was there too. I had to like edit a tweet I put out there.
Yeah.
Because not only did they announce that the Knicks had a timeout, and I kind of feel bad for Noah Eagle.
Yeah.
I guess he has to take the heat for it. It's really not his fault.
Yeah.
They put a timeout back up on the score bug on TV.
They did.
And they must have said in his ear, Knicks have a timeout. Let's walk through that scenario.
Yeah.
And if they did have a timeout, and let me just walk people through why they didn't, because not everyone follows basketball like we do. You're only allowed to call two timeouts in the final 3 minutes of a game.
Mm-hmm.
They called the timeout with 2:43 to go. That's the one with Brunson on a fast break. It looked like a fast break with
the
Red Sea parting.
The basket. Yeah.
And then they called the timeout. They had a call with 2.1 seconds to go to set up a potential for a last possession.
That's the timeout you have to
call. So because of that other timeout at 2:43, they don't have a timeout. So with no Eagles on the broadcast saying, the Knicks are clearly, once McCall misses one or two, even if he made them both, I guess it didn't matter, they're going to call a timeout to advance the ball.
Right.
So you're going to inbound the ball from midcourt with 5.5 seconds to go, meaning you're going to get a good shot off.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Obviously, they didn't have a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
So the talking point completely disappears. That's not a Mike Brown issue.
No.
There was no timeout to be called.
Can't get on the coach for that.
Yes.
They have no timeout to be called.
Right, so I'm going to give you the mystery guy.
Okay.
All right.
But I also wanted to just say that he's got to be someone to go to Brunson. And there was that one possession where you could see him screaming on the sidelines to get Cat to come up and run the two-man game. Like,
is very successful.
Which was successful.
Yeah.
Why is that something where Cat's got his head up as you know what on the baseline and they're screaming at him like, these things should be discussed. They should have a plan. And I'm sorry, part of it is tell Brunson enough of this. Just like, how many possessions in a row did Bridges have the ball at half court and he came running around, took the handoff, and then went and did whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I blame all of them, but the coach, a lot of that falls under his purview. So for me, whoever the mystery guest is, number one is very easy for me.
Well, look, Jalen Brunson, no one else took a shot in the last 2 minutes and 50 seconds of the game.
Outside the final shot.
And all of a sudden, Bridges shot. All of a sudden, you got four guys standing around.
Terrible.
And while we obviously trust Jalen Brunson does not have to be in that spot. You got OG Anunoby wide open in the corner.
Yep.
The whole damn night, he was the best corner three shooter in the league this year, right? You got Karl Anthony Towns playing bully ball down low. They had no answer for him in the low post last night, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're a one-possession game, and we kind of relied back on just let Jalen Brunson do everything.
Right.
But Jalen's got to eat that too.
Of course he does.
You got to be a better point guard.
Yes.
In that spot.
Totally.
But maybe I don't blame Jalen Brunson.
No, I blame him.
I
blame them
all. Mike Brown.
Okay.
Maybe I don't blame Mikal Bridges, OG, or anybody.
Really?
Maybe the mystery person's a guy that should be blamed more than any of them. Because I don't want his ugly face with that ugly hat in my building ever again. The mystery person to blame for the New York Knicks debacle in that fourth quarter last night is the owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen.
I should have guessed that.
And memo to you, Steve Cohen, we know who you are. You don't have to wear the stupid Mets hat to get attention for yourself. Everybody knows it's you. And when you've lost 11 consecutive games, you got some balls showing up on the wood wearing a Met hat last night like there's not a problem in the world. Shame on you, Steve Cohen. You're responsible for the Knick collapse.
He brought that losing mentality from the Mets over to the Knicks.
Oh, look at me. I own the Mets. I got my Met hat on. Like it's something to be proud of.
Well,
11 straight losses. And now the Knick loss makes it 12.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's seen a lot of losing lately.
That's all that guy does is oversee losing.
Yeah.
Unless it's money, then he's the best in the world at it. Want to be clear.
I wish I lost as much as he did.
Exactly.
I wish I lost as much as Steve Cohen did.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, listen, there was something about that, wasn't there? There was just that vibe throughout and it just had that feeling the entire game. Like, to their credit, every time Atlanta would make the run to get it within three, to get it within five, the Knicks would come back, balloon it back up to 12, 14.
Yeah.
But, like, it just kept happening. And the major problem is, Craig, like, this has now become a trend of who they are in postseason series. Like, they give you one of these every single
game. Yeah, no, they do. It's hard target.
This is a game you can't lose, man. You want to win. I agree with you. I think most everybody agrees with you. They're still going to win this series.
I think so.
They are far the better team. That's what's so frustrating about this. Like, they are the better team. There's no doubt in my mind. They might not lose again. But, like, there's just, you want to win an NBA championship, man. You cannot have these mental lapses.
No.
You cannot let teams, like, there's going to be, as we saw last year, game one against the Pacers. You're going to come across a team that you can't afford to give a game away to.
That's right.
You can afford to give away a game to the Hawks.
I think so. Like, C.J. McCollum taking 22 shots last night. And all due respect to C.J., I mean, come on, C.J. McCollum's in his mid-30s. He's at the end of his career rope. He's had a great career considering he came out of Lehigh.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, really? Like, C.J. McCollum took 22 shots last night and made dagger after dagger.
Yeah.
That baseline shot in OG's face, which was the killer.
Great shot.
Put them up, three or four at that, maybe five at that spot. Yeah, like, I'm not worried about C.J. McCollum beating me in a seven-game series. I'm not.
No, I know, in a seven-game series. I'm with you. I totally agree with you. Like, this isn't about this series as much as it is about the decision-making we're seeing from the head coach, the decision-making we're seeing from the point guard, and the idea that this team continually gives games away.
Yeah.
This group continually gives games away.
Yeah, and look, best fourth-quarter team in basketball this year.
All year.
They one of the best defensive teams in basketball this year. They didn't have a single fourth quarter this year where they scored 15 points. So last night was a major anomaly for them. I would not expect it to happen again.
No,
I think if nothing else happens from this game, it's, hey, guys, you're not good enough to do what you did last night and win.
Right.
So maybe it's a refocus.
Hey.
Maybe everyone takes some ownership of the loss, and maybe that makes them better for Thursday night.
And not only that, the rest of the way, maybe it's a turning
point. We get a bonus home game on Tuesday.
Let's go.
Next week for game five, which hopefully is the game that we could end the series in.
Yeah.
But now you got your work cut out for you.
They make things harder on themselves. And I'm with you. Maybe, listen, as we're watching, if they still make DVDs, but if they're watching the championship DVD, and in all the interviews, you know, it was that game against Atlanta, and we sat down and talked about it, and from that moment on, we took every second of every game to a different level. Maybe that'll be the case.
I hope so.
I'm not opposed to it, but man, it's hard to think they're going to do that when they consistently give games away.
Yeah, and I think Mike Brown got a little cocky last night.
Yeah.
I think going to the fourth quarter up 12, I think he felt like we're good. Now, look, I like Jose Alvarado. We all do. He's a local kid.
Yeah.
Really good defensively. I mean, what did he play? A minute in the first half, but he was solid. Played a little bit more in the second half. Like, there are times when Jose Alvarado should be on the court, and there are times when he should not be on the court.
Right.
And if you're up by 20, put him on the court.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like his game a lot. He's a good role player. Deuce McBride missed 2 months, 3 months of the season.
Yeah.
Like, why is he getting extra minutes? Like, there does come a point when you're up by 12 where you put your foot on their throat.
Right.
You go up 20. And then you take guys off the court.
And then you take guys out.
That's just how I see it.
Or you recognize you have an opportunity to go up 2-0 on this series against a team that's not as good as you. It ends the series practically. Go end the series. I don't care. Start. Have all those guys in the starting five game three. I don't care. Win that freaking game.
Yep. Yep. It's a bad loss. But it doesn't crush us.
No.
It doesn't end the series.
No.
We're not like, oh my God, they've got Halliburton. We've no answer for him.
Yep.
Their best player the first two games was not Jalen Johnson, who is their best player.
Yeah.
We've done a great job defending him, but C.J. McCollum, you know, turn the clock back 10 years. And the dude's got a stroke, and he ain't afraid of the garden, and we had no answer for him. He was 12 or 22 last night.
Yeah, no.
and down the stretch hit every big shot. Hit the floater, hit the
and we missed 10 free throws. Like, I don't blame Mike Brown for missing free throws.
No, I don't either. They win. Like, I mean, listen, OG misses.
And it wasn't even Mitch.
What is
OG misses both free throws in a one possession game?
How does he miss both?
How's that Mike Brown's fault?
It's not.
Right. That's so not. Anyhow, we got a lot of basketball for you. The New York Mets are in action tonight. We have what do I call it? The streak buster, in a good way.
Yes.
Joining us later today is a young gal named Haley Welch. You might know her as Hawk Tua. She'll join us, try to get the Mets off the schneid.
Tonight's the night, man. And it's ugly now.
You got Nolan McClain on the mound.
They lose this game with Nolan McClain on the mound, and particularly lose it 1-0, 2-1 after another great pitching performance.
Yeah.
This gets ugly.
But there is good news for the Mets. It was reported about 10 minutes ago, right as we were coming on, that Juan Soto is expected to be in the lineup tomorrow night. So tonight should be the last game without Juan Soto. So you get your savior back tomorrow. So we'll see what the Mets can do. And, of course, we're not going to go through 4 or 5 hours here today and not talk about the Yankees-Red Sox.
We're
going to talk about the Yankees-Red Sox. And in typical Boston fashion, the scumbags that they are up there, Cam Schlittler and his family are getting death threats.
Yeah.
Like, let that sink in for a second.
And he's
how disgusting the people of Boston are. And I just thought it was the Patriots, because I love Boston. It's a great city, great town. But you're a bunch of scumbags. And the fact that Cam Schlittler and his family are getting death threats, really? Death threats?
Yeah.
Because he pitches for the New York Yankees? Like, come on, guys. What are we doing?
I mean, it's
bunch of animals in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's always people who take it too far. It's felt like a little bit of it got serious at the playoffs last year and after, but it's felt like a fun banter for the most part between them. And he's eating it up. To be fair to Cam, is eating it up. He's talking back to the Red Sox fans. He's gone back to him on social media, but death threats. I mean, people are crazy.
Crazy.
It's baseball.
Right.
It's baseball.
Right.
People are nuts.
And think about this. He got death threats yesterday, apparently.
Yeah.
On the 13th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing, where people did die and people did get hurt. And these morons in Boston think they're cute by going online and sending Cam Schlittler, who's a kid, who's barely been in the pros, death threats before an April series against the New York Yankees. What are we doing?
I hope he sticks it right up
there. Right up their asses, Big Mac.
Okay.
I'm in a mood today because of the Knick game, so I might be a little edgy.
You seem a little bit.
But, well, I didn't have my dumplings yet either.
Well, that whose fault is that?
I haven't had dumplings. Gallo, he's my dumpling guy. Pete's my backup dumpling guy.
Yeah.
I come in, I pay for them.
Yes, you
no
did.
Dumplings.
No dumplings.
I'm like, it's 12:40. I get it the same time every day. Yeah. So he's on it now.
But yes, we have Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah.
We have Nolan McClain on the mound tonight.
Yeah, we have Hawk Tua.
Hawk Tua girl on the phone. We've got, obviously, reaction to the Knicks and a new wrinkle. I mean, we saw the head coach of the aforementioned
New York
Patriots,
we gotta get to that.
Speak for the first time and certainly not deny anything, that's for sure.
Mike Vrabel admitted that he had an affair down in Rossini without saying those exact words. We'll get into that later on today because at no point did he apologize to Diana Rossini, say he felt bad for Diana Rossini, or mention her name. So if Diana wants to know where she stands with Mike Vrabel right now, I think she knows.
Yeah.
There was no effort to say, I feel terrible for what she's going through. Did not mention her by name, but did say he's had to have some very tough conversations with his family, with the Patriots ownership, with the players, which is a way of saying I effed up.
Yep.
I got caught and had to talk about it. All right. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a single follow-up question. I don't know if there was.
There might have been. I didn't see one.
But
either.
The video, I think we both saw the same video.
Yeah, just him.
I did not see a single follow-up question. And we're going to find out if there was.
I'm being told he did not take questions.
No questions. The Boston media is a joke, too. An absolute joke. Other than Felger and Maserati. Love those guys.
Yeah.
But how do you not ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
It's your only chance to talk to the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he says, I don't want to answer questions.
How do you feel that?
You got to ask questions.
How do you feel that the other person involved in this had to resign?
Right.
And here you are getting ready for the NFL draft.
Your girlfriend, your gumad, got fired. And you tried to work in concert with her to make this go away.
Yeah, and you denied it and lied to us.
Is it laughable now, Mike?
Yeah.
But no one's got the balls to answer that question.
No.
Anyway, we'll get into all that stuff. We'll get all your calls as well. You know the phone number, 888-808-1019. I'm very happy to be here today. Because today's one of those days as a sports talk show host, you want to be there for the people. You want to be there.
The people, yep.
You want to be there for the good, hardworking blue collar Knick fan because they need some love today.
Yeah,
they need to vent after last night's debacle. And obviously, everyone knows that when it comes to basketball, this is the only show you go to. We're the basketball guys for you. So if you're a diehard Knick fan waiting all day to talk some hoops and vent about what happened in that fourth quarter last night, the basketball guys are here.
You still on the side of the crowd outside of Madison Square
Garden? Loved it. Loved it.
After the game, chanting.
Chanting Nixon 5.
Okay.
Great job by my people outside last night. Because we're not losers. We don't just go home because we lost the game.
That's right.
We pivot.
That's right.
All right, we're not going to sweep them fun. We'll beat them in 5.
Beat them in 5.
Great job by the fans outside the Garden last night. The Afternoon Fan Line sponsored by Verizon Business. 888-808-1019. Let's get the party started. You got something to read?
I do. I have two things to read.
Great. Go. Music. Play. Let's go.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. This portion of the program is sponsored by Paramus Chevrolet and by Flag and Anthem. Real clothes for real life.
I'd imagine actually knowing where your health is headed and not just getting a bunch of test results, but having a real plan. Because let's be honest, living longer isn't just by luck. And it's not some body scan, biohacking trend, or celebrity nonsense you saw online. It's my friends at Princeton Longevity Center. I've been going for damn near 20 years. Every single year I get the full body scan, and I know exactly what's going on inside this beautiful crevice I call the body. And that's the idea. You got to know what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, how do you get the help you might need? That's why I recommend Princeton Longevity Center. You're talking about board-certified physicians who go one-on-one with you. They, by the way, they purposely do not book a lot of patients in one day because they know when your scan is done, you're going to want lengthy one-on-one time with the doctor, and you get it. You go home with an entire plan of how to attack whatever ails you on the inside. I just love these guys. They're the best. Call them yourself. 888-8000-PLC or visit PrincetonLongevityCenter.com, 888-8000-PLC.